namaskritam naram chayvam narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam dato jayamudirayat nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhagdir bhavati naishtiki.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translations and purports by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Third canto, 19th chapter, 23rd text.
Tada!
Dite!
Samabhavat!
Sahasa!
Didi!
Pipatu!
Smarantya!
Bhartu!
Adesham!
Stanat!
Astrik Prasusruve Tadadite Samabhavat
Tadadite
Samabhavat
Sahasaridi
Vepatu
Sahasaridi
Vepatu
Smarantya Bhartur
Adesham
Smarantya
Bhartur Adesham
Sanat
Chastrik Prasu
Sruve
Sanat
Chastrik
Prasu Sruve
At that moment,
Dite
of Diti
Samabhavat
occurred.
Sahasa
suddenly.
Ridi
in the heart.
Vepatu
a shudder.
Smarantya
recalling.
Bharatu
of her husband.
Kashyapa.
Adesham
the words.
Sana,
from her breast.
Cha,
and.
Asrik,
blood.
Prasusruve,
flowed.
At that very moment, a shudder suddenly ran through the heart of Diti, the mother of Hiranyaksha. She recalled the words of her husband, Kashyapa, and blood flowed from her breast. At that very moment, a shudder suddenly ran through the heart of Diti, the mother of Hiranyaksha. She recalled the words of her husband, Kashyapa, and blood flowed from her breast. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. At Hiranyaksha's last moment, his mother, Diti, remembered what her husband had said. Although her sons would be demons, they would have the advantage of being killed by the personality of Godhead himself. She remembered this incident by the grace of the Lord, and her breasts flowed blood instead of milk. In many instances, we find that when a mother is moved by affection for her sons, milk flows from her breasts. In the case of the demon's mother, the blood could not transform into milk, but it flowed down her breasts as it was. Blood transforms into milk. To drink milk is auspicious, but to drink blood is inauspicious, although they are one and the same thing. This formula is applicable in the case of cow's milk also. This maternal or parental affection is very powerful. As Prabhupada mentions, out of affection, just by the psychological or mental act of considering the child, mother can cause, in unknowingly or unwillingly, perhaps, to nurse the child or for milk to flow from the breast. So there's a very strong bond of affection between mother and child. And this is a very powerful force which keeps the conditioned souls within this material world. When the conditioned soul gets to a certain age and after some time has offspring, the forces of Maya become more binding, and the affectionate exchange that takes place between parents and children becomes very powerful and very binding. I remember Srila Prabhupada was talking about a big company in India that would, when people applied for employment, ask if they were married or if they had a family. And he was saying that if they had especially a family with children, then they would be considered to be good candidates. If they didn't have children, they tended to not want such persons, because they felt that those who had their families would be workers for life, because they had to make that kind of a commitment. So in the material world, or from the material perspective, one becomes increasingly tied to the material world as family increases, because there's more affection. Affection flows from the senior to the junior, from the older to the younger, starting with Krishna. He's the original affectionate person. Parental affection comes from him. He claims to be the father, aham bija pradapita, pitanam sarvabhutanam, pitamam. He claims to be the father of all living entities. So this affection flows from higher to lower. And therefore, when the family increases, when children are added to the equation, the affection increases. Whether it's one or two, there's descriptions in the Bhagavatam about the sweet sounds of the children speaking in broken language, how it greatly endears the parents to them. And there's this great feeling of wanting to protect always, especially on the part of the mother. So in the material world, this is a very powerful force, because it has that element of protection. And sometimes even the mother or the father, but particularly mothers, are seen to say, if the child is in danger, there's some threat, that the mother wants to die first. Kill me first before you kill my son or daughter. So this is a kind of a fascinating incident, how blood is flowing from the breast of a human being. It's not something we ordinarily see. Maybe we don't know. Maybe it can't be explained physiologically. It doesn't generally happen. But of course, so many things that we read in the Vedic literature is ununderstandable. It's a chinchior. It's inconceivable from the material point of view, because we're limited in our perceptions, and there are many worlds and phenomena far beyond our ability to perceive, what to speak of, understand. So this phenomenon occurs. Prabhupada says that it just didn't have a chance to transform, and he mentions the cow, the phenomenon, how blood is transformed into milk. Sometimes he's talked about that on different occasions, how the miracle is that simply by eating a little bit of grass, the blood of the cow can be transformed into milk, which is a wonderful substance for spiritual development of human beings. So this is what Prabhupada called the miracle of milk. Prabhupada spoke in 1976, I think it was in Honolulu, about how great the affection is between mother and child. He quoted some Bengali proverb, something, putra davetra hoy kumara, I don't remember exactly what it was, but the idea was that the mother's affection for a son is very strong, it's very powerful, and even if the son is bad, the mother's never considered bad. The father may be considered bad, but the mother is always considered good. Mother is always protecting. Even in the case of the demons, this is an example of the demon family anyway, mothers are always trying to protect, always very affectionate. And in the animal kingdom, the lions and the tigers, which are ferocious to other animals and to human beings, are very affectionate to their children. So Prabhupada was talking about a contest that took place. I don't know exactly where, but it was in India. And the subject was, the artist had to compete over, was to show a mother, you read that? Mother was seeing her child being killed right in front of her eyes, and to capture the anguished expression of the face of the mother. This is what the artists were asked to paint. So Prabhupada was saying that the one painting had the mother like this, with her hands covering her eyes, as the child was about to be killed. And this is the one that won the first prize. With the idea was that it's impossible to express the anguish, it's so great. So either better not to see it, or better the mother shouldn't see such a thing happening. So this is one example of that he gave of the intensity of a mother's feeling for a child. In Bengal, it's especially sometimes said that the affection that a mother has for a child is very intense. We read about some of these things in the Chaitanya Lila. Of course, this is more on the transcendental platform. Lord Chaitanya's mother was very affectionate. He made so many concessions for her out of her affection, even though he said, my body belongs to you. Even after taking sannyas, he was making arrangements before for how she would be able to see him sometimes and cook for him. When one devotee was ordered by Prabhupada to go from England to India to preach, he was kind of suddenly given the order, and Prabhupada asked him to go. He said, this is very good, you're from Great Britain, so you have a lot of courage. He said, when you preach in India, he said, the British soldiers are known for their courage, or at least they were all over the world. He said, you should preach with the courage of a British soldier and the heart of a Bengali mother. This will endear the people to you. This was Prabhupada Swami. So, in this case, the situation is a little perverse or perverted. It's coming in the form of blood. Yeah, I seem to remember reading somewhere about some tribal peoples who were somewhat had a relationship with cows. They were nomadic peoples, and they traveled with cows and bulls. And they used the dung for fuel and fertilizer and cooking and so many things. And they also had this kind of perverted, they tapped into the jugular vein to get the, and they actually drank the blood of the cow before it was transformed into milk. And that was one of their main things that sustained them. What is it? Asai? Where are they? East Africa. So they seem to have some kind of a perverted version of Vedic culture going on. So this is a very binding, very powerful force among animals, among demons, this disaffection. Of course, in the human situation, it's much more subtle and can be used in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada used to say, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was brought up, that you can have thousands of children, if you, of course figuratively, if you can make them into devotees of Krishna. So that affection has its place in Krishna consciousness. Nonetheless, there's always some warning about the danger of affection, of this type of affection. One somewhat related was, of course, the story of Bharat Maharaj. Even though a highly elevated person, he developed a kind of parental sentiment towards an animal. It's seemingly innocently, the animal's doe's mother died suddenly, and he wanted to save this animal and became affectionate. So we had this book on reincarnation, and a little chapter called The Victim of Affection. So this is what happens sometimes. One becomes a victim of affection. Chitraketu is another example, who was made an example, whose son suddenly died, and he became, and his wife, they became completely grief-stricken, lost their composure, were unable to cope with life in general, until they were enlivened about the true nature of the soul, how it passes from one body to another and has so many different mothers, so many different fathers. When in the house of Srivas Pandit, when a death occurred, it was a different kind of situation. And of course, Vichitraketu, who was also a great devotee, he was put into a position of forgetfulness. And as a great king, it was an example that Krishna arranged to take place to see how, to illustrate how affection is sometimes misunderstood, or it's possible for it to obliterate our understanding about the true nature of the soul, not being bound to one set of parents. So in the house of Srivas Pandit, there's a description of, during a kirtan, how his son, who was diseased, suddenly died. And it's described there that he was so patient, that's the word they used, patient, that he didn't want to disturb the kirtan. And he didn't say anything until the kirtan was over. In fact, he still didn't say anything, but he was very patient, and Lord Chaitanya, being omnipotent, said to him, some calamity has occurred in this house. Somebody has died, and then he found out what happened. So he spoke to this dead child, and in a very transcendental manner said, why is it that you are wanting to leave the house of Srivas Pandit, such a great devotee? And very miraculously, this child suddenly spoke, as did the child of King Chichiketu, and said that I have lived out my time, my destiny in this body. The time has come. And in fact, whatever is happening, it is happening completely by your order. Whatever you ask, I must do. Whatever you say, I am your servant. I will have to carry it out. So when that happened, it was a completely transcendental experience. And there was actually no disturbance. And the next thing that happened was that Lord Chaitanya committed himself and Lord Nityananda to Srivas Thakur to be their eternal children. So although he lost one material child, he gained two children who would be his children, guaranteed to be eternally their children, his children. So in transcendental life, these relationships actually are eternal. Once Prabhupada was talking about this in relationship to his family, and he said that I was dreaming my godbrothers were trying to get me to take sannyas, and I was having great misgivings about this whole process. And this was in New York in 1966, and he was looking around at all the devotees there. Not so many, but there were quite a few. And he said, now I have so many children, they're serving me better than my own material children. So whoever devotes himself to Krishna, he said, he will never lose out. He will never be the loser. So Prabhupada, in taking this step, was showing by his life as an acharya that one actually gains so much. And the relationship that exists, this parental-child relationship in the spiritual world, in the as a rasa, vatsalya rasa, is something that can exist eternally. The spiritual master's relationship with his disciple is an eternal relationship. So this was a very satisfying thing to hear Prabhupada. It was obvious that such a thing as sannyas was possible, and that affection continued to exist, flowing from Prabhupada on down, coming originally from Krishna. Great affection, and manifesting in a spiritual way. So it's described in this chapter that Krishna's appearance to kill Hiranyaksha was done for the pleasure of the demigods. They came and they called for him, and it's described how he came to give them pleasure. This is one of the reasons for Krishna's appearance. And when he struck Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, the death blow, it's mentioned that he did this with indifference, which shows that he's more interested in pleasing his devotees than in killing. Sometimes people, killing demons, sometimes people say that, how is it there's so much killing if God is the source of everything and everything comes from God? Why is there killing? So we know that this killing or fighting desire, it must originate in Krishna, because Krishna is the origin of everything. But it's a very small and insignificant part of Krishna's activities. First, there's none of this type of activity in the spiritual world. There's no demons. There's no killing. But when Krishna comes and he incarnates into this material world, or he comes in his original form through his expansion of Vasudeva, he kills. But this is not his main activity. There's a description that he kills demons just as a child would destroy its dolls, very easily and kind of indifferently. That's how Krishna kills. That's not his main business. His main business is affection. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. There's a relationship with Krishna and every living entity. Jiva bhuta sanatana, eternal relationship. And apart from it being one of the living being, part and parcel of and qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord, there's a great affectionate relationship that exists. Krishna is extremely desirous of associating with the conditioned souls, all of us. But in our condition, we don't feel the same attraction. Lord Chaitanya also phrased that way in his Shikshastakam, Nam Namakari Bahunam Nija Sarvashaktis, that although you are easily accessible, you make yourself out of kindness, very easy to reach through your holy names, I'm very fortunate because I don't feel attracted to them. So when it's said that Krishna takes 10 steps towards us for every one we take toward him, this is the meaning that the affection is actually flowing from Krishna. And Krishna's affection is not only to associate in the various rasas, but also there's a sort of overriding parental or desire to protect the living entities, a parental relationship that he has with all living entities. And Krishna has, in Krishna's appearance, many instances of relationships with Yashoda and some of the others who are considered his mothers, of deep affection. Now, there are many different mothers of Krishna described in the Nectar of Devotion. Kunti was described as one of the mothers, the elderly gopis, stepmothers, and so many. In fact, when Krishna came to Dwarka, there's a description that stepmothers of Krishna began, as we were discussing earlier, their breasts began to flow with milk, wetting their saris. And this was considered to be the first welcome, or the first sign of welcome, as he entered into Dwarka. This sort of suddenly, inadvertently took place. And that was considered the beginning of Krishna's welcome. There was another instance, this is from Nectar Devotion. When Mother Yashoda, who was described as the Queen of Gokul, was going to see her son at Kurukshetra, one of her friends said that her dripping of milk while waiting for Krishna to return from being away colored the Ganges white, and the tears mixed with her mascara dripping colored the Jamuna black. So it was said that she was standing between these two rivers, that there would be no need for her to express her feelings for Krishna, because these two rivers in their black and white colors would be sufficient to express her affection for Krishna. And there's another description in the Nectar of Devotion about Yashoda. It's said that if she stands in an ocean, if she stands on fire but is able to see the beautiful visage, the face of Krishna, that fire will feel as cold as the ice in the Himalayan mountains. And if she's standing in an ocean of nectar but is unable to see the beautiful face of Krishna, that nectar will be perceived by her to be an ocean of arsenic or poison. So our feelings are always inconceivably intense for Krishna. When Krishna stole all the cowherd boys, also there was a great feeling of extraordinary affection that ensued when Krishna incarnated and manifested and expanded himself as all the cowherd boys. There was more affection, it's described in the 10th canto, that the mothers had for their children, that were their real children, because Krishna was that actual person who took the place of their child. So their affection is said to have increased thousands of times. These descriptions of Krishna's pastimes with the demons and his descriptions of his pastimes with Mother Yashoda are all, in one sense, equally potent, because one is describing the nature of Krishna's relationship with his parents, another how he treats the demons, and we see the range of wonderful range of activities that Krishna is engaged in, sometimes in killing, sometimes in being an affectionate son. He was such a perfect son that he acted out all the roles of a child from his infancy through his middle time, Kumara, Kishore ages, and so on, that there was no suspicion or no perception on the part of the parents, on the part of his mother, many times completely forgetting. In the case of Mother Yashoda, always absorbed in the mood that Krishna is my son, always trying to protect Krishna, always worrying about Krishna, that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is quite extraordinary that she would forget like this. And always worrying, always fearing when she saw that Krishna had eaten dirt. At that point, even she saw the universal, the whole cosmic situation within the mouth of Krishna. She still, so overwhelmed with affection, was thinking that something very strange is happening. Maybe I'm dreaming. Maybe Krishna's a demigod, so many things, but not the idea that my dear beloved son could actually be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is very difficult to understand, but in the spiritual world, this takes place. The affectionate nature that takes place in the Vatsalya Rasa is very, very powerful. So to hear about all these different things, gives us a sense of Krishna's relationship with the living beings as a father, one who is very affectionate, and one who can reverse the situation, become the child of a devotee. In general, when it comes to God or religion, the perception is simply of God as the father. But in Krishna consciousness, where we understand the nature of the various rasas, we can see that looking at Krishna as a child or developing that kind of a relationship is far more advanced for a devotee to feel the desire to protect Krishna. And Krishna perfectly acts out his role. When he walks, he kind of stumbles. When he talks, he speaks in broken words. He's very respectful to his parents. He cries when Yashoda tries to bind him. He shudders in fear when she comes to chastise him for stealing butter. He's so perfectly acting that role, even more perfectly than an ordinary human being, that it's impossible for Mother Yashoda to understand who he actually is. So sometimes he's the father, sometimes he's the child, of course the lover, the friend, and in all of these relationships, they're so sweet that there's forgetfulness. There's also forgetfulness in this Sakya Ras, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's so much fraternal play and understanding and equality that Krishna develops, that Krishna imbues that sense of equality, fighting with his friends, they're joking, sometimes he's taking an inferior, sometimes a superior role. So this is one of the manifestations of Krishna's omnipotency. He can play a role perfectly according to the desire of his devotees. And sometimes it's said that his appearance and his nature is molded to the desire of his devotee. He acts exactly according to how especially his great devotee wants him to act. That's the way he will manifest himself. And he will enter into the heart of such a devotee. So a devotee can fix his mind on a particular aspect of Krishna, a particular relationship, or a particular follower of Krishna. One might want to relate with Krishna in a certain way, and therefore one is advised to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Raja. One particular resident one may want to follow in the advanced stage of Krishna consciousness as one approaches perfection. So just to kind of sum things up, this affection which flows from Krishna originally in the spiritual world manifests in Krishna's pastimes when he's here in this world, in the spiritual world, and during his Leela as Lord Chaitanya. We see there's great affection developing between Krishna and his devotees, and Krishna in his childhood pastimes. It's said that these are the greatest in the Srimad Bhagavatam of all of Krishna's pastimes. So he comes in comes as a child also and manifests how a child acts and how there is great parental affection. In the material world, or in the material consciousness, without Krishna being at the center, or without knowledge of Krishna as the father or the most beloved child, affection tends to bind one very tightly to the material world and take one away from Krishna consciousness. And in this instance, we have a kind of macabre example of affection coming in the form of blood flowing from the breast of Diti, who was the mother of Hiranyaksha. So I'll read the verse again. Tadadi.